I'm Michael Schroeder, and I'm here at MySpace. I'm with Eric Nelson, principal architect, and Akash Patel, a senior architect here at MySpace. And we're here today to learn about what they've done with CCR, the coordination concurrency runtime that's part of the robotics toolkit. You can get it on MSDN. They've done some pretty interesting things with this toolkit for building out the MySpace infrastructure that's built on the .NET framework. So, Eric and Akash, welcome.
Thank you.
I'd like to really first start off with sort of asking you what you've done here.
Okay. Well, as one might imagine, we've got a lot of data moving around to support MySpace, so we've got a pretty large middle tier that started off as a pretty simple caching system with a single server responsible for a given piece of data, and has moved along to meet our needs of increased load, surviving across different data centers,
redundancy, failovers,
meeting all the other goals you need for a 24/7 website that runs mostly on user created data. So we have a fairly large middle tier that performs caching roles as well as some other more interesting business logic that is essentially a distributed messaging system. And that's what we call data relay.
Data relay. So here's a high-level view of the system, actually, before we zoom in and talk about where CCR is actually used. So essentially, data relay is a system where you have the concept of groups, clusters, and nodes. And so data is partitioned across multiple clusters, so that's how you partition your data, large amounts of data. And replication is achieved via nodes within a cluster. So you have redundant nodes, basically. So essentially, this is our middle tier caching system at a high level, and we have different instances of these systems that do different things, but I think Eric's going to talk about essentially where in the system CCR fits in. So we have somewhat of a context.
So given this, this structured data, like what's the actual data that would be in these? Is it like profile data? Or?
Absolutely. You think about just about every piece of data you can imagine. It's all about high data availability, right? So a website like MySpace, for example, the throughput requirements are through the roof. We're looking at tens of thousands of requests per second. So you have the option of hitting a database. Only get you so far unless you have really high-end hardware. Mm-hmm. So, of course, caching becomes the next obvious choice. And caching in itself needs to be taken to another layer, so to speak. So you have redundancy, replication, and when you're talking about hundreds of gigs of data being produced constantly, you're going to have to partition your data across multiple clusters, and you're going to have redundancy and failover. So you essentially end up with...
Yeah, we have really all sorts of user data in there. Everything from the little bits of data that represent a mapping from a user ID to a username and a default picture, which is used all over the site in large groups, all the way down to the large blobs of text the user writes to describe themselves. So in order to support the different data access patterns that we have there, that's where we have our ability to split these groups up into clusters and nodes differently. For every cluster that we add to a system, that gives us more data capacity, but it means that a large group query is going to have to talk to more servers to get all of that data. And then when we have a smaller amount of data that needs to be accessed more often, like the shared data, as we call it, the profile pictures and such, we get a lot of nodes in a single cluster that all have the same data, so we can support actually hundreds of thousands of requests per second for that data.
And then how is this segmented across the many servers that are in the back end? Is this all on each individual server, or is this...
Right, so you're looking at a node here we're referring to as a server.
Okay.
So these are your servers, your distinct hardware units, and you logically group them into a cluster, except you're going to have tons of groups. You're not just going to have one group.
Yeah.
So you might have a group for profiles, like Eric mentioned, a group for shared data, a group for generic data, a group for your activities, your bulletins, your, you name it, news and status, your comments. So you have many, many different groups, and they're all sized appropriately for the access pattern So if you have lots of small objects being accessed very frequently, you're probably going to have lots of nodes within a cluster and not necessarily too many clusters. Whereas if you have large amounts of data, you're going to have to break your system into smaller clusters so that you can fit more data. So cluster buys you space, and nodes within a cluster, they buy you throughput.
Okay. So then...
So in that context...
Okay.
To get to CCR, how that fits into our system, which we look at a large messaging system that's got input from thousands of clients and needs to redistribute these messages to many other peers. Look at CCR is actually a pretty good fit since it's for coordinating inputs and creating outputs from those inputs. There's two of our two places even within this one system that use it. The first is our socket transport. The system evolved over time to use a variety of different methods of communication until we got all the way down to just writing our own over the wire format. And the server for that has essentially two kinds of messages in a messaging system. You have input messages that just are coming in, fire and forget, and then synchronous messages that have an output. So the socket server implementation uses two CCR queues, one for one-way processing one-way messages, one for processing synchronous messages, so that we can try to keep the latency on synchronous messages down. It also means that depending on the needs of a given server, we can adjust the number of dedicated threads for each of these. So if it's okay to have a little bit more latency on processing the one-way messages, we can turn down the number of threads in CCR so that it's not sucking up all the time that we want to have the low-latency synchronous messages.
So this is managing the thousands of messages going back and forth between the client tier, as we see here, mm-hmm. and then this mid-tier.
Yes.
And so, okay.
Okay, so yeah, clients are sending input, updates from users, updated information about when someone logged on, all sorts of different things, and then also requesting that data back. Those queues send things into the relay node itself, which is hosting a number of components. There's our storage components that are in charge of actually keeping this data and returning it, and then the message distribution system is actually written as just another component in the system. So messages come in, and they're handed to each of the components that subscribe to those messages. Inside of the node, there's actually one more CCR queue, because this is not it's not really coupled to the socket transport layer. There's a CCR queue that takes those one-way messages and queues them up to process as it can, and then the synchronous messages are just passed, processed straight away on the CCR thread in the synchronous dispatcher.
So, with this architecture, I could imagine, you know, being a software developer, I could imagine that there are many ways to skin this cat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, why is CCR the best fit for you guys for this use case?
Well, it was pretty apparent quickly that it's got pretty low overhead for each message that comes through. And the difference between just using, say, queues or work items in the .NET thread pool has a fair amount of overhead, and the system is using a fair amount of overhead to manage the number of threads, figure out how many it needs to use, et cetera. And we got a pretty impressive throughput increase. Please don't ask me how much, because I have no idea. When we switch from just processing it immediately or trying to use the .NET thread pool. It also gives us, having the discrete control over the number of threads has been useful in a few places. Of course, we had to jigger our own system for changing the number of threads on the fly, but it is possible to take the CCR dispatcher queues and reassign them to dispatchers, new dispatchers with a new number of threads to do that. It also meant with the discrete queue control, our ability to create lots of queues or different queues that are processed by the same thread pool, the way we organize them inside this component is that, the way that the replication works is that when a node receives a message, it relays that message to every other member of its cluster. So they know where they are in this network mapping, and they keep each other in sync. So internally, the forwarder keeps a different dispatcher queue for each member of its own cluster, and then one dispatcher queue for every other group. The idea being that it's going to be sending lots of messages to each of these other nodes, and this is the same component used on the client, so it might be talking to other groups to get other data, since the relay nodes can talk to each other. Additionally, for this, the forwarding, we don't want to just take every incoming message and create a discrete output message for that, since generally we're going to be getting hundreds or thousands of inputs a second. What CCR allowed us to do was using the multiple receive and other patterns, we could set it up so that we say, okay, wait until you've got either 100 messages or you've waited 500 milliseconds, for example, and then just take what you've got and send it. And that
those two constructs are really the key into, you know, into moving large amounts of volume of data across the wire in an efficient manner.
What was the process by which you moved to CCR? What were you doing before CCR? And did you look at any other infrastructures for doing this? Did you look to build it yourself?
I think that initially what was being done was just trying to use the built-in primitives in .NET for thread control and using the .NET thread pool. I don't think that many other sort of thread control alternatives appeared. I'm not actually aware of too many other things that are very similar to what CCR does. So it was sort of a completely homegrown, which is, we do a lot of homegrown solutions, but it's not always the answer, especially for something as finicky as coordinating threads and doing very high throughput operations on them. So basically, once we saw the feature set that we could do with the different receivers and the ability to coordinate messages in effectively arbitrary ways, but still in a pretty understandable manner with low overhead, I don't think we really had to consider much else.
I think we also have a very specific set of use cases, mm-hmm. and when you come across a product that solves those specific use cases, I think that's a kind of a, you know, you're going down the right path. And, you know, I'm sure there are various usages of CCR, and as you can see, we use them primarily for queue processing, message processing, and batching, and moving messages from point A to point B. I think you would probably look into alternative solutions when you have lots of different use cases and one solution alone cannot meet those requirements. So I think in this case, we happened to just run across a system that met our few but very commonly used use cases.
So the way that CCR works is you do development in a, you know, in Visual Studio, do the development in the Visual Studio system, and then deploy the runtimes to the CCR runtime and then your code onto the servers. Can you give us an idea of the scale of how many servers CCR has been deployed on so far?
At some point, I stopped being responsible for deployments myself. So I don't know the exact numbers anymore. The last time that I saw were well over 1,000 middle-tier servers running this. And so those are the servers running all of this. Of course, as I mentioned, this forwarding component that handles the server communication is running on the clients as well. So that's on all of our... 3,000 plus. 3,000 is the number I've been saying for a while. It is probably wildly out of date, but well over that in terms of web servers talking to those maybe 1,200 or so middle-tier servers.
And looking at CCR as a technology used within MySpace, how has that grown from team to team, or is it just used in a specific team, or...
It has grown. Once we started using it, I know that the search team was also using it. They heard that we had pretty good success with it and started using it as well.
I think there was an effort to encapsulate this into our own library, right?
We actually did.
Exactly. Yeah. So that made it even more readily available to other consumers who wouldn't want to go through the process of learning CCR directly.
Yeah.
We abstract just the key things that we needed from that.
Yeah.
So there is a library that is set up, which everyone's organization has access to.
Correct.
So, you know, the use cases for that, if you account for that, is probably even greater.
And there's actually quite a few developers and companies that are using it, and they just don't know it. They,
that's right.
They know that they're using our message queue library.
It just works.
And, and they since the programming model is a little different, I personally found it fun to learn, and I like working with it, but not everyone likes to shift the way they think in programming. So how
is it different?
I think it was almost trying to wrap my head around exactly how the dispatchers, the dispatcher queues, the ports, and everything work together was almost a similar feeling from going from procedural to functional programming.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's a system where, rather than going from step one to step two to step three, you sort of wire everything up and then you go throw things at it and it works.
Yeah.
It's almost like more like putting together building blocks in the right way. And that's sort of how I think of it internally, and getting them to play nicely together rather than the sort of very explicit do this, do this, do this that is most procedural programming.
So speculating. So this came out, was part of the robotic toolkit. Mm-hmm. MySpace does not build robots, as far as I know.
Sadly, no.
Not for your full time job, but but now it's being used as the mid tier of largest .NET site in the world. Speculating now that you understand the model, where else do you think it would be applicable, like within MySpace or other software applications?
Well, I think anywhere that you have things operating in any sort of real time basis, which is of course why it was developed for the robotics toolkit, because you've got things that have to respond in a given amount of time, and you have coordinating lots of data at the same time. So I really think as a server-side technology, it makes a lot of sense for a lot of different applications. That's really what all the things in the servers are doing. So I imagine anyone that is responsible for being the cloud themselves rather than using what's on the internet would find uses for it.
Yeah.
Since there's always lots of data and you need to respond as quickly as possible.
So what kind of feedback would you have telling the people at Microsoft, the development teams who've built this and who are working on it, what feedback would you give them?
Well, aside from thank you for a product that actually enabled me to move all this data around that quickly, it's possible that the learning curve could be overcome somewhat, even in just how it's presented. I think it's not immediately apparent that basically what you have, I mean, the API is named this way, dispatcher queues and such, indicating that you have these work item queues. You know, there's work items in the API. But I don't remember from the documentation sort of it being presented as, well, you could start off with a very simple implementation. It's just these things come in and this is what you do to them. And then you can move up from there into doing the more interesting things with multiple receive or interleave patterns and other data. So maybe just breadcrumbs towards the more interesting thing. I think people get a little overwhelmed when they try to initially jump into the system. And I don't think it's as complicated as people make it out to be sometimes, or as it can seem when you initially try to explain it. I myself wouldn't be able to do a good job of making it seem simple to describe it, but I'm sure there's people more skilled than me at that could. Since I think a lot of people are missing out on a really useful threading library by being intimidated by its difference, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's essentially the same thing. We've actually had, obviously, conversations with the CCR team at Microsoft, and essentially that's what's been relayed, that we love the product. It's just the, approaching it, making it a little bit easier to approach for other developers. I think that would be the bar. I think that's kind of a high bar to get to for a lot of developers. And once you get that, benefit greatly from this product. It's just reaching that.
Well, thank you very much, guys. I think it was really a really great experience.
Thank you.
Thank you.